And we are to hate the things that God hates. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Amen.
All right.
Now, we're not called to hate people. We're to love people. We're even love our enemies. We're not called to speak hatefully to people or about people. And we're certainly not to act hatefully to people in any way, shape, or form. But we are called again to love the things that God loves. We're to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. We're to love the things that God loves with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. If we love the Lord, amen, we're to love the things that God loves. But we're also called to hate the things that God hates. Amen. Now, most Christians have no problem with loving what God loves. But there is a weakness in hating what God hates. Most backsliders don't fall because they fail to love what God loves. But if they fail or fall, it's because in their lives they've not hated what God hates. You know, a lot of folks, they love to come to church. They love to sing. They love good preaching. They love good testifying. They love to feel the presence of God. They love all the wonderful things, amen, that God offers. They love the things that God loves, but they just never get down that part about hating the things that God hates. Amen. We've got to love holiness, but at the same time, we got to hate sin. Amen. I mean, we got to love singing the songs of Zion. Amen. But we've got to hate being partakers of this world. The scripture says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But whoso doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Know ye not, he said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, that friendship with the world is enmity with God? My, let's love the things that God loves. Let's love being in the house of God. Let's love singing the songs of Zion. Let's love God's holy word and get a hunger and a thirst for it. Let's love good preaching. Let's love good living. But let's not forget also to hate the things that God hates. Amen. General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said this. He said, I fear the day when men will have salvation without regeneration, faith without repentance, heaven without hell, and love for God without hate for evil. That day is now. That place is America. Amen. Again, now there are many that love what God loves, but they don't hate what God hates. I believe there's such a thing as a holy hatred. Amen. There's something about holiness. Amen. God will beautify the meek with salvation. There's something about holiness that's an attractive force. Amen. Jesus said if he be lifted up, he'd draw all men unto him. And there's something about good living. And there's something about the things of God that will draw people. But there's something about evil that ought to repulse you. You ought not to be attracted to sin. You ought not to be attracted to worldly entertainment. You ought not to be attracted to television. You ought not to be attracted, amen, to lustful flesh and lustful things. And all that is sinful or wicked in this world. Amen. You ought to hate it. Amen. You ought to abhor it. There ought to be something about it that make you draw back from it like you draw back from a leper. Amen. Rather than feeling that fatal attraction towards sin. Ye to love the Lord, hate evil. God wants us to love the things that he loves and hate the things that he hates. Amen. Now, a lot of people like flowers, beautiful flowers. People plant flower gardens. But there's one thing about planting flower gardens. You can't ever plant flowers where there's not going to be weeds. Amen. And if you're going to have a good flower garden, you're going to have to destroy those weeds. In other words, if you love flowers, you got to hate weeds. If you love beautiful flowers, amen, you're going to have to destroy weeds. There's something about a mother, you know, that loves her children. You know, the more she loves her children, the more she's going to hate sickness. The more she's going to hate disease. The more she's going to hate anything that's going to harm her child. Amen. If you love good, you're going to hate evil. If you love health, you're going to hate sickness. If you love life, you're going to hate death. Amen. Pastor that loves his people, he's going to hate sin. He's going to hate worldliness. He's going to do his best, amen, to keep sin out of the church, to keep sin out of the hearts of the people. Why? Because he loves good. And if you love good, you're going to hate evil. If you love what God loves, you're going to hate what God hates. It's just that simple. Amen. You know, we're living in a culture right now in this world, and especially in our nation, which is a culture of death. Amen. And I could talk about a lot of things to illustrate my point tonight, but I want to deal with just a couple. And one is this culture of death. Amen. Now, God loves life so much that the first thing he ever did with man was give him life. Amen. God is a life giver. And what does the Bible say about the devil? That he's come to steal, to kill, and destroy. God gives life. The devil kills. God is all about life. And the devil is all about death. In fact, the last victory that Jesus bought for us, hallelujah, was when he delivered us from the fear and the power of death. Thank God. Hallelujah. And we ought to love life, praise the Lord. And at the same time, we ought to hate death. We ought to love, amen, anything that promotes life. And we ought to hate anything that promotes death. Amen. I'm talking in particular about abortion. Amen. We ought to hate that. That's not anything to be neutral about or to be tepid about. To be honest, in the last little bit, I've had to do some repenting. Because I got to thinking back over the years, you know, when I was a younger preacher, I talk about, you know, up to this date, there's been 20 million babies that have been aborted. And then 5-10 years later, I'd say, well, there's been 30 million babies that have been aborted. And then there's 50 million babies that have been aborted. And now there's 60 million babies that have been aborted. And I preached about it, and I knew the statistics. But it's kind of like Stalin said one time. He said, if one person dies, it's a tragedy. But if a million die, it's a statistic. And I realized, you know, God talked about those that sighed and cried for the abominations done in the midst of the land. And I realized that I wasn't as broken as I need to be broken. I mean, I believe it breaks God's heart. I believe every little child that's been created, that God has given life to, that's been conceived in the womb, amen, was a forethought of God before the foundation of the world. He said, Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew you. Amen. I ordained you a prophet to the nation. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Amen. And I found myself praying one day, and I realized, you know, that I just wasn't as burdened. I just wasn't as grieved. I just wasn't praying like I needed to be praying. I wasn't upset like I needed to be upset. It's just another political point. It's just another statistic that I could quote in my preaching. Hey, man, I'd like the Lord to break my heart. I'd like, you know, I believe God weeps. I believe God is burdened. Amen. I believe judgment is falling on our land for the multitudes and millions of babies that have been aborted. It's not enough just to love God. We got to hate evil. Said we got to hate evil. We ought to be praying against evil. We ought to be working against evil. You certainly need to be voting against evil. Amen. There may be a lot of things, you know, that you may have as something that you consider important when you vote, but I'll tell you one thing that I consider the most important thing, and that's who's pro-life and who isn't. Amen. Who's gonna further the death, or who's gonna further life? Amen. Now I'll tell you something that's gonna come around and bite a lot of folks. Some of these advocates right now of abortion. Amen. A little later on in life, when euthanasia and assisted suicide and some of that is fulfilled, which is where they're working at now. Amen. They're going to find themselves on the other end of the assembly line. Amen. Just recently, they put to death a 12-year-old boy. Amen. He didn't want to live anymore. He didn't want to face life anymore. And doctors got together and said, well, it's his choice. And a 12-year-old boy, they let decide to end his life. Some of those European countries now, you go into the hospital, you're an old man, and used to be the first step was, you know, if you thought you didn't have quality of life and you wanted assistance with suicide, they'd give it to you. But now you don't have a say. There's doctors that decide. They look at your age, they look at your condition, they look at the possibility of your quality of life, and in some office somewhere, they make a decision whether or not you're fit to live. And if they feel like you're not fit to live, not fit for society, that you're just a drain, you're going to have no quality of life, then they pull the plug or give you a shot. Coming soon to a hospital near you. Amen. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. I never forget what that famous German preacher, and I believe it was Niemeyer, said. He said they came for the gypsies, and he said, we didn't say anything or do anything because we weren't gypsies. He said they came for the Catholics. He said, we didn't say anything or do anything because we weren't Catholics. He said, they came for the Jews. He said, we didn't say or do anything because we weren't Jews. He said, but now they're coming for us. Amen. I'll tell you what, we better speak up, amen, against the wickedness of abortion. We better speak up for the unborn. It better become more than just a statistic. Amen. More than just a talking point. Hallelujah. My, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. God forgave Manasseh, as wicked as he was, the most wicked king that ever lived, Manasseh. God forgave him. I mean, he was in prison in a foreign land, had committed such wickedness, turned the people to idolatry. Deborah was a man so worse than Ahab. But in that prison, he humbled himself and repented. And God restored Manasseh to the throne, and Manasseh became a great reformer, put away the idols, put away the Sodom. Man, I mean, he turned things around. But you know what? In the next generation, God judged the land. Know why? Even though they had repented, even though they put away the blood, the Bible says because of the innocent blood that Manasseh had shed, which God could not pardon. Maybe there was a few thousand babies that they put on Dagon's arms, or they sacrificed to Baal. But my, the millions and the millions that we've slain in America, God cannot pardon. I'll tell you, judgment is going to fall. And we that love the Lord, we ought to hate evil. We that love the Lord ought to be moved by that. We that love the Lord, amen, ought to be stirred by that. We that love the Lord, we need to be praying more. We need to be laboring more. We need to be doing more. Amen. We need to love the things God loves, hate the things God hates. Second thing I want to deal with, and again, I could deal with many things, but the second thing I want to deal with is the second thing, or the first institution that God created right after he gave life unto man. The first institution that God created, even before he created the church, was the institution of the family. Praise the Lord. Almost 5 years now I've been institutionalized. Amen. Almost 5 years now I've been institutionalized. Amen. God created the family. He took a man and a woman. That's what he made. He made a man and a woman. Now they've got it down now to about 15, 16 different genders, and they keep adding every day. But my Bible tells me God made two, a man and a woman. You're not born that way. God made a man and God made
a woman. And you know what God said about it? He said it was good. He said it was good. Amen. All you men, aren't you glad you love women? Amen. You women, aren't you glad you love men? Praise the Lord. God said it was good. God said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Now, they say you can't make two and two equal five, but you can make one and one equal four. One plus one forever. Amen. Hallelujah. One plus one forever. God loves marriage. God loves a family. And the devil's been working to destroy the family from the very beginning. The first two children born, Cain killed Abel. The devil's been out to destroy the family because he hates everything that God loves. But we're supposed to love everything that God loves. And we're supposed to hate everything, amen, that the devil loves. And we ought to love the family. You know, it's amazing how many politicians now, even on the Republican side, who used to talk about, family values and used to talk about a constitutional amendment to ban abortion. You don't hear that talk anymore. It's kind of like an issue that's been swept away under the rug. And now, too, you know, a lot of what used to be called conservatives, they've become a little more libertarian in their views concerning homosexuality. You know, they're concerned about the homosexual rights. Some of them will even talk about, you know, how those Arabians and how those Muslims persecute the homosexuals and they'll use it in a way, and I don't believe in persecuting them or putting them to death, but they'll use it in a way, you know, like homosexuality is not that bad of a thing, and it ought to be accepted. And a part of our culture in America is that we love and accept homosexuality and gay marriage, and it's part of being an American. Well, it's not. It's wickedness. It's vile. It's an abomination. Read Romans 1. He gave them over to reprobate minds so that they would do things that were unseemly, not convenient. Amen. Woman with woman, doing that which is unseemly. Man with man. And they got a just recompense in their bodies. God judged them. God says it's wicked. We need to hate what God hates. And we need to love what God loves. There's some red lines we've got to draw in the church, folks. Amen. I was talking with Brother Markey. You know, we could differ about some things that aren't essentials. Amen. But I'll tell you what, there's some things we got to draw some red lines about. Praise the Lord. And one of them is homosexuality. If not 20 years down the road, amen, we're going to have homosexual couples coming into church with adopted children. And folks are going to use the same excuse they've used to excuse adultery. They're going to say, well, we don't want to break up families. Amen. Amen. And folks are going to say, well, and this is the excuse a lot of people use. They say, well, you know, what's wrong with love? I mean, God is love. Why would you be against two? In a world full of hate, why would you be against two people loving one another? Why? And I'll tell you what, a lot of folks are buying into the devil's lies. Amen. Or people are just being a little bit, you know, accepting. And what it is that the devil has taken a hold of the cultural system in America through the TV and through the movies and through literature and through books. And little by little in this sitcom, you know, there was a gay man and he was funny and he was clever. And it was the old hypocrite, you know, sourpuss fundamentalist Christian, you know, that was the hater, and then this hero was a homosexual, and then this one, and then little by little, people's minds have gotten brainwashed till we can't even see the evil in it. I'll tell you, it's evil what they do. It's wicked what they do. It's not an alternate lifestyle. It's not just something, you know, that we, you know, it's something we need to hate. Again, we don't hate the people, but we hate the sin. We hate abortion. We hate homosexuality. We love life. We love the family. How many love life? Amen. How many of you getting, a little bit older? Amen. You don't want the white van to come around looking for you when you're limping up the street. Amen. Amen. I want God to take me when I'm ready, not when somebody else decides I'm ready. You know, it amazes me. They'll call that tissue, that baby inside the womb, and they'll say a woman ought to have control over her own body. That's her body. She ought to have control over her own body. But you know what? If I decided, I wanted to cut my arm off because it's part of my body, what do you think they'd do to me? They'd lock me up in a mental institution. Because I wanted to cut my arm off, but it's my body. I ought to have the right to do what I want with my body. Amen. That's what they say. I tell you what, the God of this world hath blinded their eyes. And I feel like there's a little bit of drowsiness on the church. We don't hate the things that God hates enough. Amen. I said, we don't hate the things that God hates enough. See, there's no high without a low. There's no cold without a hot. Amen. And as I said, the more a mother loves a child, the more she'll hate disease. The more a pastor loves a congregation, the more he'll hate sin. And there's a time to love and there's a time to hate. You know, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That's how much God loved the world. But there was another time that God so loved the world that he destroyed every living being in it. Because of their violence and perversion and their wickedness. And in order to preserve at least one pure generation that could then populate the earth with more righteous people, he saved Noah and seven others, and that was all. Yes, God so loved the world. God loves righteousness. God loves forgiveness. God loves mercy. But God also hates sin. Amen. And the same God that so loved the world to give his son also so loved the world that he destroyed it one day. We've got to learn to love what God loves and to hate what God loves. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Don't go along to get along. Don't play with sin. Don't get close to it. Don't get near with it. Amen. We need to learn to hate wrong things and evil things. And it's just as important as loving good things and right things. Psalm 101:3 says, I will walk uprightly within my house. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. That bring anything to mind? Amen. Psalm 119, 104, he says, I hate every false way. Amen. You know, another thing that's happening in the world, is people are getting more accepting of cults and of religions that'll damn your soul. David said, I hate every false way. We need to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. But there's a big move now, when I first got saved, you were holiness, you were Pentecostal, you considered Catholics lost. Amen. But now there's a big movement to be so accepting, so ecumenical, so loving. Amen. That there are brothers. And if you dare to say that the Catholics lost, and that their religion don't save and that all they're doing is trusting in works or trusting in the Pope or trusting in Mary and that don't save them, that they've got to be born again, then you're a hater. You're a bigot. Amen. I remember just the last election when Mitt Romney was running for president. Now, I like Mitt Romney as far as a candidate. I'd have voted for him over Obama. And did. Amen. But people, in order to justify, Mitt Romney, a lot of evangelicals and Christians were lifting up Mormonism and trying to justify Mormonism as just another, just like you have a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian. Well, you had a Pentecost, then you also had Mormons. Well, David said, I hate every false way. And let me tell you something. There's a difference. Amen. between a Christian and a Catholic. There's a difference between a Christian and a Mormon. There's a difference between a Christian and a Jehovah's Witness. There's a difference between a Trinitarian Pentecostal and a Oneness Pentecostal. Amen. And we need to love what God loves. We need to love sound doctrine. We need to love the truth. And we need to hate evil. And we need to hate lies. And we're going to love false. You know, God wanted them to put away the false gods, not join affinity with them. That was the great sin of one of the great kings of Israel that wound up dying because he kept making affinity with Ahab and then affinity with Ahab's son, even though he was a righteous king. And in the end, it cost him his life. We can't have any fellowship between light and darkness, between Christ and Belial. If we love the Lord, we got to hate evil. Amen. We've got to love the truth. And the truth shall set us free. Psalm 119:163. Amen. David said, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Let me read you something real quick over here in Proverbs 6, starting at verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look. A lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. God isn't slightly discomforted by those things. He don't feel a little bit negative towards them. He said, these things I hate. Paul, talking about perilous times, talks about three loves that God hates. Three loves that God hates. He said, in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. They shall be covetous, that is, lovers of money. And in the end of a list, he says, and they shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's three loves we need to hate. Amen. We need to love what God loves and hate what God hates. Amen. Now let me add this, and I'm fixing to close in just a little bit. Amen. Now some people hate evil. They hate what God hates, but they don't necessarily love what God loves as much as they ought to. I mean, there's some folks that I've met them. They're quick to take a stand against evil. They're quick to preach against sin. They're quick to put down, you know, anything they feel is against the truth or against their beliefs. And they're quick to hate what God hates. But you get a little bit closer to them and know a little bit more about them, and you find out they don't necessarily love the things that God loves as much as they ought to love. Amen. And we ought to love God's Word. There ought to be something about God's Word that draws us to it. You know, we ought to not do it as a duty, but do it as a privilege and a pleasure. It ought to be something we look forward to when we get to open up God's Word every day. Amen. His Word's a lamp under our feet, a light under our path. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy Word is truth. He said, now you are clean by the Word which I've spoken unto you. Amen. God's Word gives faith. God's Word gives life. God's Word is glorious. David said, I desired it more than silver and gold. We need to love the things that God loves along with hating the thing that God hates. We ought to love prayer. My, I told him the other day at Brother Taylor's church, you know, in Old Testament times, the high priest just once a year, he went in and made a sacrifice for himself. Then there was incense that was burned. And then there, after much ritual and much preparation, he went in one time, once a year, and he went into the holies of holies, and he made one sacrifice. But when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. And we're bidden to come boldly to the throne of grace to receive grace and help in time of need. That which the highest priest could only do once a year, we can do it whenever we want. My, we ought to love prayer. We ought to be excited about prayer. It ought to thrill us. We ought to love the things that God loves equally to the hate we have for the things that God hates. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I read you them seven things that God hates. One of them was he that soweth discord among brethren. Amen. We need to love unity. We need to love one another. Amen. By this man shall know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Hallelujah. Do we love the things that God loves? Amen. Do we really love them? Or are they just part of our duty or part of our life? Do we really love holiness, or is it just a chore? Is it something we do just to fit in and get accepted? Do we really love the things of God and the things that God loves? And again, do we really hate the things that God hates? Amen. That's the way to test yourself. That's the litmus test right there. Amen. How much you love the things that God loves and how much you hate the things that God hates. If you're indifferent to the things that God loves and you're indifferent to the things that God hates, then you're just lukewarm. And that's the Laodicean church of this age. And that's where most folks are right now. They're indifferent to the things that God loves. You know, they serve God and Baal. They fear God and Baal. Amen. God wants us to love him and love the things that he loves with all our heart. God wants us to overflow with love and overflow with just desire for God and for the things of God. And at the same time, God wants us to hate the things that he hates. They ought to repel us. I don't think there's nothing funny or nothing cute or nothing clever, you know, about some gay man or some gay woman and what they say or how outrageous they are. I don't think there's anything to be proud about when they march. And yet there's Christians, so-called Christians anyway, let me say, that march with them and stand up for the rights. And more denominations and more churches and more individual Christians are little by little being brainwashed because they're caught up in the popular culture. They're watching the TV, they're watching the movies, they're reading the books. Amen. Little by little, they're being brainwashed. Amen. Until they're not hating the things that God, they're not repelled by sin, they're not repelled by evil, and they're not drawn by goodness. We're to love good men. We're to love good things. We're to love righteous things. I mean, it ought to be like a magnet that attracts us. And anything sinful and wicked ought to repel us. That ought to be our heart. And if you find your heart in any way different than that, then when we come to pray tonight, you need to pray. You need to pray, Lord, let me hate the things that you hate. Lord, help me to love the things that you love. Amen. Have I preached the truth tonight? Amen. Have I preached the truth tonight? Do you want that kind of a heart? Amen. You know, it's easy to get a little lukewarm about the things we love and a little lukewarm about the things we hate. But we ought to have a burning hatred and a burning love. We ought to have a burn. Now, when you think what sin has done to the multitudes of millions that are burning in hell right now, you ought to hate sin. Amen. When you think about the glorious grace that God has given to those that have made it into heaven, that great cloud of witnesses, my, you ought to love grace. You ought to love the good things of God. We ought to hate compromise. We ought to love grace. We ought to love praise. We ought to hate complaining and bitterness. We ought to love a good spirit and hate a bad spirit. We ought to love unifiers and hate, amen, those that sow discord. We ought to love all the things that God loves and hate all the things that God hates. Amen. going to come to this altar tonight, and I want us to search our hearts and just ask yourself and let God show you just how much you hate the things he hates and how much do you love the things that God loves. And maybe you need to ask God to change your heart and change your feeling and change the way you're thinking about things. Amen. And I'll tell you what, that's the kind of church that Jesus wants. That's the kind of church he's coming for. Amen. A church that feels like he feels and thinks like he thinks and loves and hates like he loves and hates. That's everyone that will come and pray tonight. We